Blog Talk Radio.
Show that is designed to give you a bird's-eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to understand your relationship in his regard, and your relationship in regards to one another, and your relationships in regards to strangers, different nations. and to find out what mistakes we made that got us in the situation that we are in today as I speak. Now, I know that there's some. I ain't got no time for that. I ain't got no time for that soup. I ain't got no time for that cartrail. I got more important things to do. But I like to ask you a series of questions since you have so much more important things to do, which is, one, you don't want to solve your problems? Two, do you want to continue to fuss, fight, and sometimes kill each other on the playgrounds? Do you think your problems can be solved? And if so, wouldn't you like to solve those problems? It's quite that simple. And before we get started in our studies, I want to make some comments about some contemporary subject matters. As you can see, their leadership's a fool. Yeah, quite foolish. And as such, what do you expect from their people? It's called reverse engineering. If the leadership is rotten, the people are rotten. You can see how they stormed the gates of the Capitol. No regard for any kind of laws. No respect for life. No respect for morals, defecating in the hallways of Congress, peeing in the corners of the Congress. And their leaders are still at it. I suspect that universal white race supremacy is forming up behind the Republican Party. Yes, there are most parties and all parties, but they seem to be infused in the Republican Party. The Republican leadership are still lying, misdirecting, and confusing, and won't face reality. Refuse to face truth in our justice. They said in a justification of not prosecuting Donald J. Trump is not legal. Oh, what difference does it make? It makes a whole lot of difference in a community. In a nation, whether you let some people get by with some things, or some people just face justice, and justice doesn't matter, for as truth is concerned, whether or not you're a prominent member of society, you know, you're lesser than. Everybody should face justice and truth. And reconciliation in that. Otherwise, it's just simply a farce. And so it seems in these United States of America, things simply seem to be a total farce. So the next time, perhaps when you get in trouble, you can use this defense. It doesn't matter. I stopped being a robber. It doesn't matter. I stopped being a rapist. What does it matter anyway? Let's unify. Man, what a bunch of nonsense. As I said, the leaders are foolish and the people are more foolisher. What a shame. That being said, before we get started, I'd like to introduce my brother and friend who helped in the Real Talk for Real People show, a equal partner in producing this show, Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yamsuf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
May he bless you also, brother. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man, you said a mouthful. You are echoing what the Proverbs say. When the evil people are in power, the people suffer. And that's what we're seeing right now with the powers that be. Because they corrupted. They tell lies. They don't want to... They don't want to admit their guilt, and the people are going to suffer. So we are this universal white racist supremacist system, and they feel that they're above the law. But they're not above Yah's law, because there is a thing called karma, and you reap what you sow. So we see the people reap what they sow, and it ain't by our might, by our power. But it's by the might and the power of Yah that he judges all things.
Exactly.
No need to fear, no need to doubt. Most High gonna do his thing. And all we have to do is be in tune with his plan. We know the Gentiles gonna suffer because of what they do and the destruction of his creation, the bloodshed that they have committed upon the earth, their corruption in the earth. They have to answer for all of that. You know, even though they think they could get away with it, trust me, they're not.
In a fine analysis, you're quite correct, Katrin. You're quite correct. Thank you very much, my brother and friend. If you're done, Katrin, we'll move right into our series of studies.
Yes, sir. I'm done.
Thank you very much, brother. Turn to the book of Mabitha. Some of you call it Numbers. That's not the correct name of it. Everything should be correct. Bar Mitzvah. Turn to the 31st chapter. It's called, and that's it. Somebody called it Numbers. That's not the name. And the 31st chapter, Bar Mitzvah. We're almost done with this book. And we'll be moving right along to Devarim. Some of you call it Deuteronomy, but that's not the name. Okay. Shall we get started? Are you guys ready? Okay. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, Avenge the Israelite people on the Midianites. Then you shall be gathered to your kin. Moses spoke to the people, saying, Let men be picked from among you for a war campaign. Let them fall on the Midians to wreck the Elohim's vineyards, not your personal vineyards, not their personal vineyards. The Elohim tells you the who, what, when, where to take vineyards, avenge yourself. Not vengeance, but avenge. Quite different. And the Elohim tells you when to take that righteous indignation out on people. And fall upon the Midians to wreck the Elohim's vineyards on Midian. You said dispatch on the war campaign 1,000 from every one of the tribes of Israel, meaning 12,000 fighting men, shock troops. So 1,000 from each tribe was furnished from the divisions of the Israel, 12,000 picked for the war campaign. Moses dispatched them on the war campaign, 1,000 from each tribe, with Phinehas. The Most High has to go before them also. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, served as priest on the campaign, equipped with sacred utensils and trumpets, the priest, for sounding the blast, the priest, before they took battle. They took the field against the Midians, as the Elohim had commanded Moses, and slew every male, along with their other victims. They slew the king of Midian, those kings which were Evi, Rekem, Zur, Hur, Repha, the five kings of Midian. They also put Balaam, son of Beor, to the sword. Got him. The Israelites took the women and children of the Midianites captive. They seized the booty of all their beasts, all their herds, and all their wealth. They destroyed by fire all the towns in which they were settled and their encampments. They gathered all the spoil and all the booty, man and beast, and they brought the captives, the booty, and the spoil to Moses. Eleazar, the priest, and the whole community, Israelite community, at the camp of the steps of Moab at the Jordan near Jericho. Moses, Eleazar, the high priest, and all the princesses of the community came out to meet them outside the camp because they were filthy, defiled by blood. Moses became angry with the commanders of the army, the officers of the thousand the officers of the hundreds who had came back from the military campaign. Moses said to them, "You have spared every female. Yet they are the very ones who at the bidding of Balaam induced the Israelites to trespass against the Elohim in the matter of Peor. Those women sent out against y'all. They're the very ones put y'all in a bad position with y'all. They had a bad influence on, and y'all let them slide." So Moses is quite irate, and understandably, they are the cause of y'all whole problems in this regard. And yet spared them, the Elohim struck the community, put a plague on them, a COVID-19 at that time, put a plague on them. Because there's consequences for your actions. Now, therefore, here's what I want you to do. Slay every male among the children. Get rid of their males. Because they're going to grow up to hate you, try to get at you. And slay every woman who has known a man carnally, who has a physical contact with a man. Because there are connections. When a woman have sexual relationship with a man, there are connections with that man and that people and that land. But spare every young woman who has not had a carnal relationship with a man, because, you know, she could be easily influenced to go along with the program. But you got to get rid of them old heads that had a relationship with men, because there's a connection there. There's a physical and a spiritual connection there. And get rid of them young fellas, because they're going to come at you. Do a Shaka Zulu on them. You shall then stay outside the camp 7 days. Every among of you or among your captives, even the captives, who has slain a person or touched the corpse, shall cleanse himself on the third day and the 7 days. You shall also cleanse every clothes that you wore, every article of skin, everything made of goat hairs, and every object of wood that you held, everything that you held that came in connection with what you're doing, because there is a domino effect with this stuff, physically and or spiritually. Eleazar the priest said to the troops he had taken part in the fighting, "This is the ritual law that the Elohim has enjoined upon Moses. Gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. Any article that can withstand fire, those you shall pass through the fire, and they shall be clean. Except that they must be cleansed with water of lustration." You know, we studied the water of lustration also. "And anything that cannot withstand fire, you must pass through water. On the seventh day, you shall wash your clothes and be clean. And after that, you may enter the camp." Can't just come walk you behind up in here. "The Elohim said to Moses, 'You, Eleazar the priest, the high priest, the family of the heads of the community, take an inventory of the booty that was captured, man and beast. Divide the booty equally between the combatants who engaged in the campaign and the rest of the community. They get him some too. You should exact a levy for the Elohim in the cases of the warriors who engaged in the campaign. One item and 500 of persons, of oxen, of asses, of sheep shall be taken from their half share and given to Eleazar, the high priest, as a contribution to the Elohim. And from the half share of the other Israelites, you shall withhold one and every 50 human beings, as well as cattle, asses, and sheep, all the animals, and give them to the Levites, who attend to the duties of the Elohim's tabernacle. Moses and Eleazar, the high priest, did as the Elohim commanded Moses. The amount of booty, other than the spoils that the troop had plundered, came to 675,000 sheep, 72,000 head of cattle, 61,000 asses, and a total of 32,000 human beings, namely the women who had not had a partner relationship or known any man. Thus, the half share of those who engaged in the campaign as follows. If you engaged in the campaign, the number of sheep was, if they were engaged in the campaign, that had the half share, the number of sheep came to 337,500. And the LOM's levy of those sheep was 675. The cattle came to 36,000, from which the LOM's levy was 72. The asses came to 30,500, for which the LOM's levy was 61. The number of human beings for the half share of those combatants was 16,000, from which the LOM's levy was 32. Moses gave the contribution levy for the LOM to Eleazar, the high priest, as the LOM had commanded Moses. As for the half share of the other Israelites who was not in battle, who was non-combatants, which Moses withdrew from the men who had taken the field, the half share of the community consisted of 337,500 sheep, 36,000 heads of cattle, 3,500 asses, and 16,000 human beings. From this half share of the Israelites, Moses withheld one in every 50 humans and animals. He gave them to the Levites, who attended to the duties of the Elohim tabernacle, as the Elohim had commanded Moses. The commanders of the troop divisions, the officers of the thousand, the officers of the hundred, approached Moses. They said to Moses, "Your servants have made a check of the warriors in our charge. We've did a check of our warriors, and not one of us is missing. Not one is dead. So we have bought as an offering to the Elohim." They were concerned about their men. "So we have bought to the Elohim a freewill offering, such as articles of gold, as each of us came upon, omelets, bracelets, signet rings, earrings, pendants, that expiation may be made for our persons before the Elohim." Moses and Eleazar, the high priest, accepted the gold from them, all kind of wrought items. All the gold was offered by the officers of a thousand and the officers of a hundred as a contribution, a freewill offering, to the Elohim came to 16,750 shekels. But in the ranks, everyone kept his booty to himself. "No, we all right, we good." So Moses and Eleazar, the high priest, accepted the gold. And the Most High was mad at them, those that were just ranked men. Moses and Eleazar, the high priest, accepted the gold from the thousand, from the officers of a thousand and the officers of a hundred, and brought it to the tent of the meeting because they cared about their people. As a reminder in behalf of the Israelites before the Elohim. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. Of everybody sharing, and the officers giving a free will offering for the safety of their men. What love and consideration and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. So much unlike some of us. So much unlike. Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
This chapter is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Are we dealing with the children of the people that came out of Egypt?
Right.
And they were more in tune than their parents, right?
Exactly.
So they obeyed Moses and Eleazar, the priests, before
mm-hmm.
Joshua took over.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us think that, you know, when Joshua took over, he put Israel in check. That's why he was so successful. But
right.
before he took over, these young men, they were obeying Yah and Moses,
mm-hmm.
and they were
right.
very successful. They were humble.
Right.
and they got the victory. So why did y'all take vengeance out on Midian, the Midianites, who are a compilation of Ethiopians and Moabites?
Right.
Because the king of Moab, which was Balak, he went and got Balaam, right, to curse Israel.
Right.
And he found out he couldn't curse Israel. So what they did was use crafty counsel. And what was the crafty counsel? They sent women
at him, against him.
Right.
To undermine
their... And what happened when they sent the women?
To undermine their integrity and moral in connection with...
And what happened? What happened?
What happened to women? They undermined it, the brothers. By
That's right.
Them.
They corrupted them to the degree that how many people died?
Quite a bit. The number doesn't come back to me because I'm 64
years old. Like 24,000.
Right. But quite a few died.
So Balaam couldn't curse us, but he knew there was a strategy by sending women into Israel to corrupt our brothers. You know that Pinchas killed the man. He took his woman into the tabernacle, the Most High's holy place. And he had to kill that man, Cosby, and the woman he was sleeping with a spear, right?
Exactly.
So Balaam knew how to corrupt Israel.
Right.
That's why Yah took him vengeance, because he had to kill his own people based on what they did. Balaam couldn't curse us, but he knew he could corrupt us.
Right. He was conspiratorial in those actions.
They use crafty counsel, right? We can't get them with a curse. We can't curse them. But let's send some women in there.
Let's corrupt them.
And make them worship idols.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they did that and corrupted Israel, and Yah had to kill over 24,000 of the Israelites because they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yah said, we're going to take vengeance on these people for what they did.
Exactly.
And Balaam got killed in his battle. His brother, when he saw the angel, his donkey went left and went right. He smacked the donkey, and the donkey started talking to him.
He
died.
It. Yeah, he got
He got what he got was deserved to him. That's right.
They got him.
You trying to corrupt and kill Israel? No. Even though, you know, 24,000 of us died, you're going to pay the price for concocting crafty counsel against y'all's people. Because y'all already told you, they already blessed. You can't curse them. And then he told you not to go. But you still trying to figure out how to bring these people down.
Right.
So he said, send the women in there. That's why Balaam got killed. I can't curse them. I can only bless them. And Balak said, how can we destroy them? So they sent their women in there. And, you know, when you send some fine butt-naked women up with some brothers, you know, we melt like wax.
Can't trust a big booty in a sack. That girl is poison. And with some idols.
And y'all said, I'm going to take vengeance on y'all because y'all think y'all going to destroy my people one way or another. I'm going to show that I protect them.
Exactly.
Real. Because the people that hate us are trying to find all kind of ways to take us away from the Most High God.
To get at us. Be assured of that.
Yes.
Be assured of that. If you're done, Cartrio, we'll move right along.
Yes, sir. Keep it moving, baby.
That's what I'm saying, brother. Keep it moving. Hey, look here. Turn to chapter 37. And we're running across the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the Reubenites, Reuben's mother was Leah. And the Gadites' mother was Zibiah, Leah's handmaiden. They're pretty close together. And they have things similarity. The Reubenites and the Gadites own cattle in variegated numbers. Noting that the land of Jezer and Gilead was a region suitable for cattle. The Gadites and the Reubenites came to Moses, Eleazar the high priest, and the princes of the community, and said, Atharot, Dibon, Jazut, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elilah, Shabon, Nebo, and Beon. The land the Elohim has captured for the community of Israel is cattle country. And your servants said, we got plenty of cattle. It would be a favor to us, they continued, if the land were given to your servants as holding, as our allotment. And do not move us across. We don't want to go across Jordan. This land is we just captured through the Midianite campaign. This is extra cattle country. We prefer this land.
They had a lot of cattle, if you go we just read.
Yeah, two tribes. They had cattle before coming there. And in addition to the cattle they just recovered in the campaign, they had more cattle. And they said, this cattle country, we love this. This is going to be conducive for us. So Moses replied to the Gadites and the Reubenites, are your brothers to go to war while you stay here? What are you saying? Because Moses is asking questions, like we all ask questions. He asked, what's going on? Are your brothers to go to war while you stay here? I want to know where your mind is.
Moses knows the mindset of our people. You got yours now. Y'all settled. And all this cattle, all this land.
Right.
What? Now you're not going to help your brothers?
Because
they helped you get yours. Now you just want to chill out right here?
But that ain't how they was thinking. They wasn't like their forefathers. They were different. Are your brothers to go to war while you stay here? Will you turn your mind? Because if you do this, you would turn the minds of the Israelites from crossing. They going to get discouraged. They won't even cross into the land that the Elohim has given them. Given them? Because what you're doing, if this were your mind, I've got mine, and they get theirs, you're going to have a negative effect on your brothers and sisters. That is what your fathers did when I sent them to Kadesh Barnea to survey the land. After going up into the water Iskah, and surveying the land, they turned the minds of the Israelites from invading the land the Elohim had given them because it has a negative effect on it. And I don't want y'all doing this to them if that's what you're planning. I don't know. Thereupon, the Elohim, let me tell you, the Elohim was incensed. And he swore because of their action that none of the men from 20 years up who came out of the Mizraim shall see the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. For they did not remain loyal to me, none except Caleb of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they remained loyal to the Elohim. The Elohim was incensed at Israel for 40 years. He made them wander in the wilderness as a result, until the whole generation that had provoked the Elohim's displeasure was gone. Now, you, a breed of sinful men? Have you replaced your fathers? Are you like your fathers to add further to the Elohim's wrath against Israel? If you turn away from him and he abandoned them once more in the wilderness, you will bring calamity upon the people. See, you're going to have a domino effect, a cause and effect upon them if you do what you're suggesting.
So Yom Suf,
mm-hmm.
There's an element of this next generation that want to just chill like their fathers. Y'all came out of Egypt. We just beat up the Midianites and took all their possessions and took their women and their cattle and gold and silver and jewelry. And now y'all just want to chill? You're not going to help your brothers get what they need to get?
Right.
And that's the kind of mentality we got now. We got billionaire, millionaire Israelites right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they good. They ain't worried about where they came from,
mm-hmm.
or the condition of their people. And that's a bad mentality.
Yeah, to have. I got mine, you better get yours.
Yeah. Well, we helped you get yours. We helped you get yours, but you ain't going to help us get out.
Exactly. And that's not a mindset conducive for us as a nation. That's a bad mindset to have. But you know, but here's the deal about the Reubenites and the Gadites. Upon hearing what Moses had said to them, they stepped up to the plate. They stepped up to him and said, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we suggest. We will build here sheepfolds for our flocks and towns for our children, our families. And we will hasten as shock troops in the van of the Israelites. We will be the first troops. We're going with them. We understand. Until we have established them in their own home, until they get theirs, while our children stay in the fortified towns because of the inhabitants of the land. We want to make sure our flocks and our children and our wives are taken care of. Don't worry about it, Moses. We're going to be the first in battle. We will not remain in our homes until every one of the Israelites is in possession of his allotment, his portion. But we will not have a share with them in the territory beyond the Jordan. Whatever's over there is theirs, we're going to help them get it. For we have received our share on the east side of the Jordan. Moses said to them, well, it sounds like a plan. Now, if you do this, if you go to battle as shock troops, at the instance of the Elohim, and every shock fighter among you crosses the Jordan at the instance of the Elohim until he has dispossessed his enemies before him and the land has been subdued at the instance of the Elohim, then you return. You shall be clear before the Elohim and before Israel. You will have good conscience. And this land shall be your holding, your allotment under the Elohim. But if you do not, if you have second thoughts about this, you will have sinned against the Elohim and know that your sin will overtake you. There will be consequences and repercussions. Okay, go ahead. Build your towns for your children and your wives. Sheepfolds for your flocks. But do what you promised. Do what come out of your mouths. The Gadites and the Reubenites answered Moses, your servant will do as my Lord commands. Our children, our wives, our flocks, and all our other livestock will stay behind in the towns of Gilead with your servants, all those recruited for war, every man that's recruited for war will cross over at the instance that the Most High calls us to engage in battle as my Elohim orders. And Moses gave instruction concerning them to Eleazar. They had communication. Communication rules the nation. He gave instruction to Eleazar, the high priest, Joshua. He told us Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the princes of the Israelite tribe. Communication rules the nation. Moses said to them, if every shock fighter among the Gadites and the Reubenites cross the Jordan with you to do battle at the instance of the Elohim and the land is subdued before you, you shall give them the land of Gilead as a holy. But if they do not, if they have second thoughts and do not cross over with you as shock troops, they shall receive holdings among you in the land of Canaan. Now they ain't gonna get this land. They're gonna come over there with you. The Gadites and the Reubenites said in reply, they answered, whatever the Elohim has spoken concerning your servants, we will do. We ourselves will cross over as shock troops, the first troops at the instance of the Elohim into the land of Canaan. We shall give our hereditary holdings. We shall keep our hereditary holdings across the Jordan. That's our land, because we're going to keep it, because we're going to do right by y'all. So Moses assigned them to the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph. That half-tribe stayed there. The kingdom of Sheon, the king of Amorites, and the king of Or of Bashan, the land with its various cities and the territories of their surrounding towns. The Gadites rebuilt Dibon, Octorat, Oria, Ototh, Chophon, Jaza, Jabiha, Nera, and Bath-Haran as fortified towns or an enclosure for the flocks. The Reubenites rebuilt Heshbon, Elifleth, Karatham, Nebo, Baal-Meon, some names being changed, and Shemath. They gave their own names to towns that they rebuilt. The descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and captured it, dispossessing the Omrites who were there. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, son of Manasseh, and he settled there. Jah, son of Manasseh, went and captured their villages, which he renamed Havah-Jah. And Nobad went and captured Kena and its dependencies, naming it Nobah after himself. All right. We're going to stop right there. Cardrell, do you have any commentaries?
We can see that our Israelite ancestors were successful in their campaigns against their enemies even before Joshua took over, right?
Exactly.
They captured cities on one side of the Jordan, and they kept it as an inheritance for themselves, but they had to help their brothers.
Exactly.
So a lot of people say that Moses didn't go into the Holy Land. He was on one side of the Holy Land, but he didn't go into the other side of the Holy Land. Because the lands they're capturing now, Moses was alive.
Right. Exactly.
So a lot of people say Moses didn't go into the Holy Land, but Moses did. He was right in the Holy Land.
Yeah, he was on the east side of the Holy Land.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He didn't cross the Jordan, but he was in the Holy Land.
So, Yom Suf.
Yes.
How many warriors went to war for Israel?
12,000.
Ain't that amazing? They call that, what they call that in the United States?
Navy SEALs or Marines.
Special Forces.
Special Forces.
So how many troops did they really have? They had like 600,000 warriors.
603,000, I believe, and some hundreds.
And how many really went to war?
12,000 fighting, Special Forces.
So the best of the best of our people went to war, right?
Exactly.
And how many of them died when they went to war?
A big egg. Zero.
Huh?
A
Not
big egg.
Not near one of them.
Zero.
Zero. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Well, when you follow Yah, it's not that amazing. But if you don't follow Yah, you got problems.
So the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, if they had followed Yah like their children did, they would have had mad success, wouldn't they?
Those COVID-19 plagues wouldn't have got them. They wouldn't have ran into battle on their own and got slaughtered. Truth be told, Cartrell, truth be told.
But the fact that our ego is run amok, like you say, our ego run amok.
Ego
run
amok.
Egypt, out mm-hmm. of slavery, but our ego's
right.
running amok when y'all saved us. How your ego's running amok when you just came out of slavery and y'all just saved you?
Exactly.
The children got it, and they were very successful, weren't
yeah.
they, in their they campaign.
They listened to the counsel of y'all. They made one
That's
mistake.
That's what we have to do
right.
in order to be successful. We can't be like our fathers coming out of captivity
right.
with our own mindset. No, we have to fall in line immediately.
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 See, but Cartrell, unfortunately, my brother and dear friend, because of a lack of study on the part of some of our brothers and sisters, they take these matters for granted. and they are not serious in this regard. If they don't take these study matters seriously, the outcome is a foregone conclusion, just like our founding fathers. Some of our founding fathers that did the very same thing that some of our brothers and sisters subscribe to today. The outcome is a foregone conclusion, Kaitreya. And go ahead.
You know what they say?
What's that, my brother?
If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
And certainly that is the case in regards to some of our brothers, unfortunately, Cartrell. And we take no pleasure in seeing this, but we would be negligent if we didn't say this. So we're not saying this to put down or knock our brothers and sisters. We're saying this because it's a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. Go ahead, my brother and friend.
So the fact that our enemies don't teach us our history is so important that we go through these Blog Talk, Real Talk for Real People show, because I'm sure that there's no other place in America that we review our history.
As we do on the Real Talk for Real People. And you know what? I must make a confession, my brothers and sisters. I was going to be a little lazy today. I called Cartrell early. Hey, Cartrell, this suit. Take me a little breaky. And I can sense some trepidation in Cartrell's voice. I call Abby. I say, hey, Abby, this soup, I'm going to take me a little breaky. And about an hour and a half later, I said, what I'm going to do, just look at the walls? I said, I got to do this. I got to do this. So I called Cartrell back. I said, Cartrell, if you've not planned anything, we're going to go on. We got to fill in the gaps. We got to put this information out there. And I called Abby out. She said, yeah, I'm glad you changed your mind. I said, no. I didn't tell her this, but the most I changed. Boy, what you going to do? Just sit around and look at the wall. You need to call Cartrell back. You need to call Abby out back. And you need to get on that show. So that's what I did. And that's why we have a show that I must make a confession. Go ahead, Cartrell.
I'm so glad you did, because what are we doing, looking at Donald Trump and Joe Biden?
Exactly. And that's depressing. So this is more exciting, Cartrell.
That's depressing.
Right. That's depressing. This is exciting, Cartrell. This is so it's so exciting, so informative. It's a gold mine. It's a vast reservoir of information that is needed among us. So I want to sneak out the gold mine and just want to sit on the top of the mountain and sit on a rock. But I thought about it. I said, Cartrell down there just milling around. Abby out there mountain milling around in the gold mine. Yeah, I'm on sitting on this rock and ain't doing nothing. I said, let me call Cartrell. Let me call Abby out, because this ain't going to work for me. I just ain't feeling right. And so thus we have a study show for today. Go ahead, Cartrell, my brother and friend.
I know one thing, Yam Sufari.
Yes, my brother.
Other people dig deeper into our history than we do. They're looking for the Ark of the Covenant. They're looking for the lost tribes. And we are the lost tribes. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant because Yah is with us.
Well, see, they looking for the wrong thing, Cartrell. We looking for the right. We ain't looking for no Ark of the Covenant. The Most High going to reveal that when he wants to.
Me and you and the people on this show, but most of our people ain't got a clue.
Right.
And the fact that the rest of the nation of Israel don't got a clue, and other people are digging deeper into our history, means that Yah has to save us. Because we don't know what's going on.
But you know what, Cartrell? They're not going to find it. They're not going to find it. So it's a waste of their time. They already know. They already
they
know
who they are. Because the Most High going to put the cup of fury in their hand. And we know what the cup of fury did to us. We lost everything when Yah put the cup of fury in our hand. The Most High is going to take the cup of fury out of his people's hand, the nation of Israel, his servant, and put it into the people that afflicted us. He's putting it into their hands. And we can see the evidence of that today.
Well,
putting the cup of fury into the hands of our enemies.
Well, I could see, Cartrell, far deeper than that. I could see some broken arms. Okay?
Broken arms. You remember that.
I see some broken arms among our enemies. I see the mass hysteria and confusion. You know,
that's what I see. I see the stone cut with our hands, crushing that idol that Nebuchadnezzar saw.
Exactly. I see that idol crumbling. So and that's why it was imperative that I come back on the show today to do this due diligence and further research. And to be like those 12 brothers who went to war. Due diligence. Be there.
So what 12 brothers went to war?
Well, I meant 12,000. You know, my thinker broke out here to 12,000 that went to war with shock troops. So I had to be here. So imagine that. Yep.
You're from the tribe of Issachar. And you want to go to war with the Midianites. And they tell you ain't qualified because it's like 30 people ahead of you. And we only choosing one.
I'd have been mad, Cartrell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been mad.
Out of 600,000 troops, we're only choosing 1,000.
Yeah, well.
You're talking about the best of the best. Imagine that. The best of our people. You're talking about Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard. The best of the best. We ain't sending no scrubs to war.
Michael Jordan, what is that?
Dane, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell.
What about
Walter
the boxer?
Payton, Jim
what
Brown.
What about the boxer from your part of the country? The little boxer. Huh? I beat you, I knock you out, I bite you in your. What's his name? Mike Tyson.
Jack Johnson. Got him a white girl in 1920.
Yeah. Jack Johnson, Mike Tyson, all them characters.
What?
Mike Tyson.
The best of the best. The best of the best. The best of your tribe. Only 1,000.
Guess what?
When they came back from the war, how many of them had died?
Not none.
Not one.
But I can imagine, Cartrell, since you talk about the best of the best, I can imagine Mike Tyson being one in that number. And I can imagine Mike talking, you know, while they're going, we got to beat him up. We got to beat the hell out of him. You know, I'm not going to take any prisoners.
We ain't worried about how Mike Tyson talk. We worry about how Mike Tyson fight.
Well, we knew
and
he was.
How Mike Tyson fight how he talk.
We know he was going to beat the brakes off him. But, you know, I've been saying, man, why he going? He can't even talk right. I got to beat him up. I'm sorry you can't go, Sue, but I'm going. I'm going to beat the hell out of him. I'm going to beat the brakes. I'm going to bite the ears off. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm Sue. I'm going to take it out the boxing realm and put it in the basketball realm. Do you remember the Dream Team?
Yeah, man. They were awesome.
That's Israel, the 12,000. The Dream Team.
But you know what, Cartrell? Let's be honest. See, the Most High didn't deal just in the statutes. I understand what you're saying about the height of these gentlemen. But he dealt with the quality of the men. He didn't deal with the
you remember that Dream Team? Who was on that Dream Team?
I think Mike Tyson, Malone.
Mike Tyson ain't no basketball player, bro.
Not Malone. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Deb Malone,
Larry Bird,
Karl Malone. It was a whole lot of men. Dominique from Atlanta. I think it was.
That
Dominique.
Was a monster team, wasn't it?
Man, it was an awesome team. They
were
beating
people by 50, 60, 100 points.
They were squashing people, man. Them brothers were squashing people. They were squashing people, man.
It wasn't even a contest.
They might as well just gave them the medals because they were knocking everybody out the box.
So you can imagine 1,000 from every tribe of the children of Israel. These dudes was nothing to play with.
Exactly.
I don't care what nation you came from. If you was giant, we cutting you down. I don't care how big you are.
I think I would have made the slot.
No, I don't think so.
No hate on me. I'd have made the slot. I don't care what you say.
I don't think so.
You're talking about
the best, the elite of our people, the elite.
I'll make the slot, brother. You're talking about
Hall of Famers, bro.
Hey, I
Hall
made
of Famers. Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Hank Aaron, Muhammad Ali.
You
wouldn't have made the cut.
I'd have made the cut.
1,000 from every tribe.
I
don't think I would have made the cut. Nah.
I'd have made the cut.
No way.
You would have tried. I would have tried. Go ahead, don't give me this slot, Andrea. All right, y'all. I'm glad y'all getting excited. Think about our nation, how we excited about them. And I hope you're just as excited as Cartrell and I excited about our nation, our founding fathers.
Because we're the best in the world.
Yes. And I'd have made the slot. Okay, what Cartrell said.
No, I don't think so, man.
Cartrell.
Because we got some great people. We have great people.
Hey, don't knock me, brother. I'm down with the plane. But Cartrell, my brother and friend, if you're ready, we're ready for the next segment of study in the Book of Psalms to give us some bird's eye view of the Most High from that sector of our studies.
Yes. Because it's the spiritual aspect. How do we touch and reach the Most High, who's greater than air that he created, but you can't see him? It's like you can't see air. Put the sun and the moon in motion in their chambers and the earth in motion. We take that for granted. So every day we need to give thanks to Yah, morning, evening, morning, noon, and night, for the breath of life, for the experience of life. To be born into life is a gift. Do you know that you are one of billions of sperm cells that made it to the egg? Your mother's egg. And you can't take this life for granted. So we're in the 128th Psalm, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think you did 28 yesterday, Cartrell. I mean, well, if 28 is a rather short Psalms, I think you did that yesterday. I think you're in 29. 129. Gatekeeper. Abby, give me an update. Please give me an update. I need those numbers quickly. We got people waiting. Any day now, Abby, we got people on the radio, the international.
She's typing,
people.
Brother.
Yeah, well, she needs to type a little quicker. Okay.
I think it's 128.
You think so? Hold on. I think you said something to me about it yesterday. Let me see. Let me look at the email you sent me yesterday. Abby sent me. Because she around here messing around now. I don't know what she's doing. Yeah. Thank you, Abby. 129, Cartrell.
All right. 129.
Thank you, Abby. May the Most High bless you.
Again, these are psalms of ascent, where not your mental, your physical is rising to Yah, but your spiritual. You want to connect with the Most High on a spiritual level, because the Most High is spiritual, right? Most High is spiritual. But he created the physical and the mental.
Exactly.
And we so void in our spiritual element, these psalms help us tap into our spiritual essence. So these are psalms of what they call ascent, psalms of ascent. Your spiritual nature rises to the height of Yah, Because beyond your mental and your physical, you can touch the Most High if you're pure in your heart. Psalms 129.
Go ahead, my brother.
Praise Yah. Since I was young, they have often attacked me. Let Israel repeat it. So we a baby nation. We don't even know that we a nation. And we being attacked on every side, aren't we, Yah?
Exactly.
Since I was young, they have often attacked me, but they have not overcome me. And we've been here 400 years, right?
Exactly.
We're not on reservations.
No.
Like the Native Americans, the Apache, the Mohawk, Cheyenne, Seminole, the Dakotas. We don't even see those people. What happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
So we say that we shall overcome, but our enemies have not overcome us because we're still right up in their face. The plowman plowed on my back, wounding me with long furrows. But Yah is righteous. He cuts me free from the yoke of the wicked. And that's what we depend on, right?
Exactly.
Yah is going to cut us free from the yoke of the wicked. And we read about vows. When Yah says he's going to do something, when he vows that he's going to do something, Yah keeps his word, right?
Exactly.
And we don't play with Yah's words because Yah's words created the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we trust in Yah's words. It says, let all who hate Zion be thrown back into confusion. Let them be like grass on the roof, which dries out before it grows up and never fills the reaper's hands or the arms of the one who binds sheaves. So that no passerby says, Yah, blessings on you. We bless you in the name of Yah. So we know that the Most High is going to fulfill his vows and his promises to his nation, Israel. And the fact that he tells us not to break our vows means that he's going to keep his word.
Exactly.
So we better know his words in order to understand what our future is. Not according to what man is saying, but according to what Yah's vows are, because
exactly.
Yah keeps his vows.
You know, Coach Cartrell, how could you imagine the Most High telling you to keep your word and he breaks his word? It wouldn't stand a reason.
Nah, he can't. Nah, he loses credibility.
Exactly.
It's like do as I say, but not as I do.
Exactly. And Yah don't, and Yah don't get down. Yah don't get down like that. Well,
we know who gets down like that, right?
Well, we see him every day. All right, Katria, have you done, my brother? What's your commentaries?
I think that so much has been said tonight in regards of our relationship with the Most High. Our people need to understand our status with the Most High, because we are closer to the Most High than any other people. And we read about constitutions. Our constitution is not like any other nation on the earth. The Most High gave us our constitution, how we are made up. And we have to cling to that as opposed to other people's constitutions, how they're made up and what they represent. So I'll leave it at that. That we need to reconnect, you know, with ourselves, our roots, our culture. And again, I'll shout out YahWillGather.us. Our people need to begin to come together as a nation because that's how Yah is dealing with us.
Exactly. Not as an individual's many splendid group, but as a nation. Thank you, Katria, for that information. Thank you for that study session in the Book of Psalms, Psalms 129. Thank you, Abiyah, for giving us, keeping us abreast, gatekeeper. That being said, Cartrell and I don't know where y'all are going right now, but we know this for a certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People study show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view, historically speaking, of our relationship with Yah, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with different nations, how it should be. And what got us in the situation we are in, What is the remedy to get us out of this situation? And if you're looking for solutions, they're there. And may the Most High bless you. And I tell you this, no matter what country I said, I would have been in there. I would have made the cut.
Nah. Definitely not.
I'd have made the cut. Look here.
You don't even know what tribe you're from, Op.
I'd have made the cut. Hey, look here. Hey, look here, brothers and sisters. And may the Most High give you a new thinker, because we all need one. King Dawood knew that. That's why he asked for one when he got himself in trouble with Yah. So pray to Yah for a new thinker, kind of thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, and that continually thirst after righteousness. We love you. May the Most High bless you, and we can do this. Just do it together. We love you. Shalom and good night.
For the future.